This is the Global News Podcast from the BBC World Service. I'm Andrew Peach, and at 11 o'clock GMT on Sunday the 25th of August, this is a special podcast on the conflict in the Middle East after exchanges of fire between Israel and Hezbollah in Lebanon.
Whether or not there is all-out war here is in the hands of Hezbollah and its backer Iran, and also the government of Israel.
We'll have analysis of what's happened so far and look at what's expected in the coming hours. Also in this podcast,
if Hezbollah still has in mind a much bigger attack and feels that that is still something it needs to carry out, then we have concerns.
What impact this could have on the wider region? The past few hours have seen a major development in the conflict in the Middle East. There's been an intense exchange of fire between Israel and Hezbollah militants. The Israeli military says around 100 fighter jets carried out what it described as a preemptive strike on Hezbollah targets across southern Lebanon. Hezbollah nevertheless unleashed a barrage of attacks against Israel. Said it had fired more than 300 rockets and missiles targeting military facilities in northern Israel, and that was just the beginning of its response to the assassination of one of its commanders last month. Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli Prime Minister, addressed the nation.
This morning we detected Hezbollah's preparations to attack Israel. The IDF has since been working vigorously to thwart the threats, destroying thousands of rockets aimed at the north of the country. We are determined to do everything to protect Israel, return the residents of the north safely to their homes, and continue to uphold a simple rule. Whoever hurts us, we hurt him.
We'll hear from Lebanon in a moment. First, I've been talking to our correspondent in Jerusalem, John Donison.
This is a significant and ongoing escalation. There have been continued Israeli strikes in southern Lebanon, and that is the biggest Israeli operation against Hezbollah, really, since the 2006 full-scale war. Hezbollah did fire some 320 rockets over the border today so far, but we have only limited reports of any damage, no reports of any casualties here in Israel.
And in terms of that plan that Israel says Hezbollah had, no way really of us verifying any of that.
No, I mean, we do know from Hezbollah, they've put out a statement that their operation today was the first phase of a retaliation for the Israeli assassination in Beirut at the end of last month of a senior Hezbollah commander, Fuad Shukr, and they have now said, Hezbollah, that they have stopped for now. So we don't know the scale of the Hezbollah operation that was planned, but Israel is saying that it took out thousands of rocket launchers overnight. So previously, both Israel and Hezbollah have kind of kept their operations fairly limited. There has been daily tit-for-tat fire and retaliation from one side of the other. But both sides have said, even though they are ready for full-scale war, they don't want it. You know, the region has been waiting for a response from Hezbollah for the assassination of that commander last month, as well as a response from Iran, who of course back Hezbollah, because you'll remember that the leader of Hamas at the time, the political leader Ismail Haniyeh, was assassinated presumably by Israel in Tehran also at the end of last month. And we've been waiting for a response. Well, it hasn't come directly from Iran, but we have got some sort of response from Hezbollah today.
And while this goes on, there are ceasefire talks taking place in Cairo to try and negotiate a cessation of hostilities in Gaza. The US keeps making these very optimistic noises about them, and yet it's against the backdrop of increasing violence in the north.
That's right. I mean, really, the United States is the only party who has been saying that a deal is close. They've been pushing for one for months now, and Antony Blinken, the US Secretary of State, was in the region again this week, putting pressure on the various parties to try and sign up to a ceasefire and hostage release deal, but it doesn't seem to be going anywhere. And what Mr. Blinken said while he was here in Israel a week ago was that it was crucial that all parties refrain from any provocative actions that could escalate tensions further. Well, that message has clearly not been taken by the players in the region.
As John Donison in Jerusalem said, all eyes are now on Lebanon, where Hezbollah says its leader, Hassan Nasrallah, will make a statement later. Our senior international correspondent, Orla Guerin, is in southern Lebanon and told me more.
There was an announcement this morning that he would be speaking at 6 o'clock this evening local time. These speeches always come in the form of a live transmission from an undisclosed location, so nobody will be seeing him in person. But Hezbollah have already been at pains to point out that as far as they're concerned, their retaliation, or at least the first part of it, is over for now. And in the statement they issued, they said that our military operation for today is accomplished and completed. They disputed claims from Israel that the preemptive strike had been effective and said these were empty claims, and that we would hear more about that later from Hassan Nasrallah himself. Now, I have to say at this stage, it is still an open question about how much impact Hezbollah has had. Certainly, it tried to carry out a very big strike. It says it launched 320 Katyusha rockets at Israel and some drones. We don't yet know how many of those actually got through. We have not heard of any civilian casualties on the Israeli side. Hezbollah says that its targets were 11 military bases. And so far on this side, in the continuing Israeli airstrikes this morning, we have heard of three people who've been killed, and it seems likely that all of those were fighters. So far, no reports of civilian deaths on either side of the border.
I know there's a lot of support among people in southern Lebanon for Hezbollah. Where does the Lebanese government sit in all of this, though?
I mean, in a way, its position is entirely irrelevant because it's not the power in this country. The most powerful organisation in this country is Hezbollah, which is both an Iranian-backed armed group, which is better armed than many states, and it's also a political organisation. And in sharp contrast, the government is divided, disunited, and pretty much paralysed. There hasn't been a president here, a sitting president, for 2 years. So when you speak to people here about the threat of war and the prospect of war, you find fear, you find resignation, but also what many people say is, at the end of the day, it won't be decided by us, and it won't be decided by the Lebanese government or indeed the Lebanese army. Whether or not there is all-out war here is in the hands of Hezbollah and its backer, Iran, and also the government of Israel. So they will be the decision makers in the end. I mean, if we were to look at where we are today, we've had this very big Israeli preemptive strike. We've had Hezbollah saying it has sent 300 rockets. And that's where it sits for now. The question is, will Israel now feel that it has to take a larger military action? Or will we revert to the normal situation along the border for the past 10 months when we have almost daily tit-for-tat attacks that are largely focused on military targets?
So will Israel take that larger military action that Orla mentioned? Yossi Meckelberg is an expert in the Middle East and North Africa from Chatham House. He spoke to my colleague Nikki Schiller and said this clash was expected, but questioned whether it can now be contained.
I don't think it's finished for now. And again, we are expecting the leader of Hezbollah, Hassan Nasrallah, to give a speech later today. But what Hezbollah said, this is the end for today, and with the emphasis on today. It means it's not done. Also, from the Israeli point of view, and there is a school of thought within Israel, that actually from the beginning of this war, back in October, the target should have been Hezbollah, because it is the more threatening, bigger, larger threat to Israel, because not only the kind of capabilities that it possesses, the intention, also because it's a proxy of Iran. So by no stretch of the imagination, this is done, and we can expect to see more of that. The question if they can all adhere to the kind of parameters of attacking each other without provoking each other to a full-blown war.
The White House has said President Biden is following events closely and supports Israel's right to defend itself while continuing to work for regional stability. America has urged Israel and its enemies not to escalate fighting, hoping tensions would ease if there was a ceasefire deal to try to end the war in Gaza and free hostages. So could all this lead to more international pressure for a peace deal? A question for H.A. Hellier, scholar at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace.
I would love to say yes. And I think that when it comes to Egypt and Qatar on Hamas and other actors on Hamas, that that's very true, because, of course, they stand to lose the most as well, being in the region. I'm afraid what we've seen, and I regret to say this, but I'm afraid what we've seen over the past 10 months is that the United States has been unwilling to use the leverage that it has over the Israelis in order to push them to the negotiation table in a more effective manner. And that the United States has set red lines that the Israelis have crossed without consequence. And the Israelis know that. And it's been very clear over the past 10 months. And, you know, you just have to look at the Israeli press for all of this information right there. Israeli negotiators themselves are leaking to the press saying that Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, is actually sabotaging the negotiations because he doesn't want a ceasefire deal at this moment in time. And when you have an actor like that, an actor that is escalating in the West Bank, is escalating in Gaza, assassinated the lead negotiator of the other side, then I'm afraid you really need a very strong actor externally, in this case the United States, that is able to say, look, we have leverage in terms of the United Nations Security Council, in terms of arms deliveries and financial aid. You need to take these ceasefire negotiations a lot more seriously. They have not done that. DC has not done that in the past 10 months, and I'm afraid I don't expect them to do it in the next few days or weeks.
So what might happen next? Our Middle East analyst is Sebastian Usher.
Where we are, essentially, is not that different from where we are, I think, before this happened. I mean, this is an escalation. We've seen them before. This is a large number of rockets that Hezbollah has fired into Israel. We don't yet know what damage they might have done, what targets they might have hit. That is, at the moment, being held by Israeli censorship. But we may discover if they have actually hit something. They're claiming that they've at least targeted serious military targets. On the Lebanese side, I mean, thousands of rockets, the Israeli army says, but it's destroyed of Hezbollah. Hezbollah has a huge arsenal that's not going to dent its ability very much, but as a message saying, if you're trying to launch a major attack, this is what we can do, then that's something. But we haven't had a large number of civilians killed on either side, no ground incursion. So, I mean, we've been waiting, anticipating a major response from Hezbollah. This obviously isn't the end of it, but if it's a sign of how far it can go, then that's staying within the red lines of the conflict between Israel and Hezbollah, which I think many will see with some relief in the region and beyond. Iran, which is also threatened revenge, hasn't joined in, as at one point there was a belief that maybe Hezbollah and Iran would launch an attack together, which would have been the worst kind of scenario from the perspective of the region kind of going into an all-out conflict. All sides still seem to be trying to avoid that, but, you know, there's always a creep that builds with this, where each action sets off an action in response. If Hezbollah still has in mind a much bigger attack and feels that that is still something it needs to carry out, then we have concerns, obviously, over that in the region. If it feels it's made its point to some extent and another sort of attack of this nature is planned, then I think people will rest a little easier today after what's happened.
Our Middle East analyst, Sebastian Usher. And that's all from us for now. There'll be a full edition of Global News to download later. If you'd like to comment on this special podcast, do drop us an email. The address is globalpodcast@bbc.co.uk, or on X, you'll find us as @globalnewspod. This edition was mixed by Daniel Fox. The producer was Stephanie Prentice. The editor is Karen Martin. I'm Andrew Peach. Thanks for listening. And until next time, goodbye.